Welcome to the Texas Conflict Coach radio program. If you've ever experienced or engaged in destructive or unresolved conflict, then you know it leads to broken relationships, distrust, and damaging results. Our program will help you manage and resolve conflict effectively with strategies, valuable resources, and support. Since 2009, our radio program hosted guest experts from around the globe sharing their perspectives, experiences, and expertise while giving you food for thought. If you can't listen live, then download and listen to any of our 300-plus podcasts in our library at TexasConflictCoach.com. So sit back, relax, or join the conversation every Tuesday evening, or tweet us at TX Conflict Coach.
Welcome, listeners, to our Conflict Chat. I'm your host, Patty Porter, along with special guest host, Abigail McManus. So the last Tuesday of every month, we discuss the hottest topics in the news, as well as take your live calls. What is hot right now? An old and new narrative, sexual harassment. So we invite you to engage with us now, and you can do that in any number of ways. You can call us at 347-324-3591 and press the 1 key so we know that you want to speak with us. You can also enter the chat room at Blog Talk Radio. So if you're online listening to us now, just simply scroll down the page and you'll see that the chat room is now open. You can pose your comments or questions there. Or you can certainly tweet us at TX Conflict Coach and use our Twitter feed, hashtag Conflict Chat. So, Abby, here we are once again on our live show. So I'm glad you're doing this with me.
Yes, I'm very excited to be here. This is going to be an interesting talk.
So what is it that you've been hearing in the news on your end? You're on the East Coast. I'm in San Antonio. What are you hearing about the sexual harassment in the news right now?
Well, currently the hot topic is Bill O'Reilly being taken off Fox for sexual harassment allegations is what the big news story has been recently that I've heard about sexual harassment.
Yeah, and that's been a really big one. Have you heard about the stuff that's been going on with Travis Kalanick, the CEO of Uber?
Yes, he can't seem to stay out of the news, I feel like. He's always in the news.
Exactly, and certainly not just for, you know, accusations of sexual harassment in his workplace organization, but certainly being a very abrasive, bullheaded type of leader who is, in fact, I was reading Mark Cuban, who's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, was saying that he was mentoring Travis, and he says the good news is that he breaks through walls to reach his goal. The bad news is he breaks through walls
like
a bull in a china shop. So definitely, and so that's what we're going to be talking about. Everyone is, you know, this old sexual harassment's not a new thing. You know, we've been hearing about sexual harassment for many, 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 many years, even way before I was even born. And so we thought, you know, because it was hot in the news that we would talk about it, talk about our own experiences and clarify, you know, what exactly is it. So I don't know if you're a TV watcher, Abby. Do you watch FX? They have a new series called Feud, Betty and Joan.
So I've heard about this series, and I've been dying to watch it, but I have not been able to catch it soon. And I like to binge watch things, so I was waiting for it to go on some site where I could watch it all in one take.
Yeah, I think it's like 6 or 7, 8 episodes. So Feud is based on the feud between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, very well-known actresses back in the old Hollywood glamour days. They both, of course, have passed away, but they were really at the height of their, you know, performances, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s. And what was sad about the show is, you know, a lot of people who know about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, there was this ongoing feud for them. But what was interesting about watching the series, and it was very sad, I was kind of crying at the last episode because it was really sad how Hollywood had, because they were so beautiful, it was sex. It was their good looks, and it was sexual harassment that they were – now, they didn't call it that back then, but that's essentially what they had to deal with. And for them, they were pretty key ingredients for them being successful in Hollywood as a movie star. Now, certainly, they were great actresses in their own right, so it wasn't like, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. They won Academy Awards, a number of awards, and but the feud between them, the competition, is the way Hollywood set them up as these beautiful women, but they were definitely, had to experience using sex and their good looks and being harassed constantly from people, you know, Warner, Mr. Warner himself, the directors, people of that nature who were in positions of power and were trying to manipulate them. So this goes way back, way, way, way back. But I thought it was kind of interesting that here is something really old, and here we continue to hear about it in the news with Bill O'Reilly as an example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's talk about some scenarios, because I think sometimes people are not always clear about what sexual harassment is. Sometimes they're like, you know, maybe there's an offhand comment, a rude sexual joke, and then someone says, okay, that's sexual harassment. You know, it's a one-time thing. So what really is it? So listeners, we thought we might give you some scenarios. And for those of you who are interested, it's actually at abcnews.go.com under their business categories, came out in January. So we're going to read you a couple of examples, and these are true incidents. And we want you to think about, is this an example of sexual harassment? You want to read the first one, Abby?
Sure. A coworker keeps his wife's picture on his desk. The picture was taken on their Hawaiian honeymoon, and she's wearing a bikini. The picture is visible to anyone who enters his office. Would this be considered sexual harassment?
Yeah, so what do you think, Abby? Do you think that would be, you know, like, you know, hey, the husband's keeping the wife's picture on the desk. Do you think that would be an example of sexual harassment?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I don't.
You know what?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because I was just going to say, because it's his wife and he has it sitting on his own personal desk, I don't think that would be considered sexual harassment.
Okay, yeah, because when I first read that, I thought, well, why would that be considered sexual harassment? That's his wife, although she is wearing a bikini and it's visible to anyone who enters his office. It's not just something that he privately sees that's facing him, but it sounds like it's anyone who's wearing that. So I was just like, that's an interesting scenario. So let's keep going. We'll look at the answers in a few minutes. Okay, so the next one, listeners, an older man in the office refers to the younger women in the office as the girls. When addressing them, he calls them honey or sweetheart. Sometimes he puts an arm around their shoulder and tells them that pretty girls keep this old guy going. So what do you think about that one?
That one could definitely be considered sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Just because of them saying, the honey and the sweetheart and the pretty girls keep this old guy going. It could be, one, it's pointing out their looks, and two, he doesn't refer to the male coworkers as honey and sweetheart. So it definitely can be misconstrued as, I think, a sexual harassment, form of sexual harassment.
And we don't know if they, you know, invited him to put his arm around their shoulders. Not like he's, you know,
mm-hmm.
lightly touching
physical.
Their shoulder, but it looks like he's putting their arm around the shoulder. And especially if this is, you know, a person in a position of authority or power, could definitely be misconstrued as someone, you know, that is trying to take advantage of their position in the company. Okay, why don't you read the next one?
As they walked out of a restaurant following a business lunch, the boss dropped a handful of M&Ms into his secretary's breast pocket and squeezed her breast. Is that sexual harassment?
I think everyone would be like, oh, yeah, that's just clear cut, you know, sexual harassment. You can't do that,
mm-hmm.
you know. Of course, when I read some of these scenarios, I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to give you a personal one, all right, and see what you think about this. So when I was getting one of my first jobs at a national drugstore chain, and I had worked many jobs before, but this was my first retail experience in a national drugstore chain. And so I was wearing jeans that had like these pinstripes on them and, you know, my shirt, you know, I thought I was appropriately dressed, but I was in jeans. And the guy who was the manager of the drugstore was also the pharmacist. And so I did my application. I went in, and he says, "Well, come meet me in the back at the pharmacy window." So there is during the day, wasn't very busy, and I went back there. And he's this big guy, really big Italian guy. He's good looking, dark hair, and he kind of leans over the counter because a lot of times the pharmacy counters back then were higher than where you were, right? So you were literally kind of looking up in a way. Mm-hmm. So he's putting his elbows on the desk, and he's, you know, starting up a conversation and tell me a little bit about your application. And so, I'm thinking, okay, he's friendly and stuff. He goes, "Okay, now step back a little bit." And I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "Now I want you to turn around." I said, "Okay." So I turned around. He goes, "Slowly, slowly." And I'm like, "What the heck is he doing?" I'm like, "Is he doing what I think he's doing?" And then I turned around all the way around. He goes, "Okay, you'll pass. All right, we'll have you. You can start next week." I'm like, did that just actually happen to me? And this was like the early 1980s. So now I wasn't working there. So would that have been considered sexual harassment? I'm on an interview. What do you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, folks.
I just feel like anytime they address your body in any way, I think is sexual harassment, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I took away, one, that was an icky experience. Two, I thought, oh, my gosh, is this really still happening? And my looks or how I looked in my jeans or whatever had, for him, was like, okay, you pass muster, you can work here. Like, okay, all the women here, and mostly women, because, it was cosmetics department, there was all these things in this national drugstore chain, and there were men that worked there, but they usually had them in the back of the warehouse. So it was a very icky feeling, and I remember it just as if it was yesterday. And, of course, when I was working there, there were lots of different little incidents about, my looks or other women's looks, and not just me, but with customers, too. So it definitely made me feel extremely uncomfortable, and I just had to really – but I felt like he was in a position of power and someone that I didn't think I could talk against or say anything. Have you had any experiences like that or anyone that you know of that's had these experiences?
Yes, I had an experience when I used to waitress. It was actually from a customer that used to come in. It was a group of construction workers, and every time I waited on them, and I never had any low cut shirt. It was a t-shirt I was well covered, and I went up to, every time I would go up to the table to order, they would never make eye contact. They would just stare at my breast area when I was talking to them, and that I would consider that sexual harassment too, because they never made eye contact with me when they would order or talk to me. And there's a couple scenarios when, if I walked away, I noticed that they would be looking at me and whatnot. It gave me an icky feeling. And I feel like anytime you feel icky about a situation, that's a red flag that something probably weird is going on.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not good to be in that position. And I imagine that a huge percentage of women have experienced and let me just clarify, let me back up a little bit actually, not just women, because men experience sexual harassment as well. And they experience it in the workplace from other females. Sexual harassment can also be between the same sex. So it doesn't necessarily have to be male to female, female to male. It can also be female to female or male to male. There was an example here on the ABC News about a male being sexually harassed. It was actually pretty offensive, so I don't know that I would let me see if I can okay. Oh, now I lost my place here. A newly hired employee leaves his wife and two children at home when he accepts a job on an offshore oil rig. On the rig, he was taunted by other employees and by supervisors. And usually on an oil rig, it's either all male, or if there is females, it's very unusual, or they're segregated on the oil rig. One day, a coworker holds him in a shower stall while another coworker, let's say, puts a bar of soap between his buttocks and threatens to rape him. Now, that's definitely absolutely not only harassment and bullying, but it's definitely a form of sexual harassment. And I remember this one scenario in all the conflict work that we do. There was a firefighter who was describing that he, as a new firefighter, he was, you know, in his, you know, I forget what they call it now. What do they call it when they're at their stations? But he was at his fire station, but because he was new, they were hazing him basically, and they were hazing him by making him take off his clothes, and you know, I think they had like one suit, and basically they said he had to strip down his underwear, and you know, and just basically, you know, embarrass him and everything. That's another form of sexual harassment. So these are all examples of sexual harassment. So let's talk a little bit about how the EEOC, this is the Equal Employment Opportunity, what do they legally define as sexual harassment? So for those of you listeners who are listening to this, you're like, okay, is this really sexual harassment? Not sexual harassment. I think the tendency is there's a lot of people who don't speak up. They think they might be sexually harassed, or they know something's not appropriate, but they're like, I'm not sure if I feel safe enough to file a claim or go to my HR person. But essentially, the EEOC says that sexual harassment includes unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature. Such requests, advances, or sexual conduct can constitute harassment. So submission to such conduct is made a term or condition of employment, or the submission to or rejection of such conduct is used for the basis of employment decisions. You know, so when I was going in for the interview and he was just like, okay, turn around, let me see if you're, you know, acceptable on your looks, and then continued that. So you don't already have to be in the workplace to do that. But the thing about it is that it has to be happening enough that people would feel like they're consistently being harassed and that it's causing a toxic or hostile work environment. Have you heard anything different, Abby, in addition to that?
No, I actually print out the same definition I was reading, but I definitely think, it can happen, like you said, it can happen in a situation where you're being interviewed. It can happen, but like you said, you have to feel like it has to be frequent and severe, causing a disruption, which I think is an interesting part to add into there. But I guess,
yeah,
you know,
so
of the matter
here's the
of
thing.
It, you know?
Here's the thing, you know, this is a very complex law. There are so many variations of, okay, was that really sexual harassment, not sexual harassment? And because when someone files a claim, and HR usually is supposed to do an investigation and a thorough investigation, there's all these very specific procedures in place to protect confidentiality. A lot of times these investigations are like, well, it's really a he said, she said. You know, we can't really determine, was this really sexual harassment? There have been, and so then nothing goes forward, or maybe they do some training and they're like, okay, we want to make sure everyone's on the same board. But do you think, listeners, that that's going to change the behavior of the person doing it if that's what they have been doing all along? What do you think, Abby?
No. I think it also depends on the situation. I know this sounds like there's certain things like physically grabbing someone, that's a very obvious form of sexual harassment. But there can be comments that people make that they don't realize that what they're saying is could be misconstrued, or that they're making someone uncomfortable. So I think that's why things get a little fuzzy sometimes. Because then, like you said, it does become a he said, she said. So it's really a matter of, it's not going to stop the person, but if there's something put in place for maybe them to get the idea that that what's going on isn't okay, and then it continues after that point, then that is a realm to, like, move forward and press the matter more harshly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it so it is, you know, listeners, it's very complex. And I think because so often not, you hear of repeated behaviors and patterns, and you're like, look, I've told the superiors, I've told my leaders, I've gone to HR, nothing is happening. And I think this is what we find with the Bill O'Reilly case. So the way as I understand it, of course, he's been accused, but this was not a one-time incident. There were a number of incidents over the years where they would, you know, come forward. But because of Bill O'Reilly's popularity, the money, the top-rated show for Fox News, so, of course, he's their big superstar. He's bringing in, you know, ad revenue and, you know, and the TV viewing audience. And so, you know, most workplace organizations, when they have a high performer bringing in millions and billions of dollars, popularity, ratings, whatever that is for the organization you work for, there's a lot of hesitancy for those senior leaders to say, well, nah, come on, maybe it's just him, or maybe you misunderstood. Is it really? And so as I understood it, and maybe you know a little bit more, but as I understood on the Bill O'Reilly case, that in some of these earlier situations, like over the years, they would pay off the person that was bringing the accusation, and so they knew about it. This was not like something like, what, Bill O'Reilly? No, this was like multitude of times. So do you have a different understanding about Bill O'Reilly?
Well, I think the whole situation with Bill O'Reilly is interesting because of what just happened to the head of Fox News, Roger Ailes,
yes,
was just taken out for sexual harassment as well. So it also goes to show you that there was probably a precedent set that if the top head guy is not going to get in trouble for things that he's doing, it looks like it's trickling down. But in the situation with Bill, I think he made a statement recently to counteract the suit that was coming out, saying that this is just an incident where people were making trying to, you know, slander his name and get a payout so he can avoid negative publicity. But there was other people that, now that this woman came forward, I know there's other people that are now coming out saying that they also had an experience with him too. So it is,
yes,
it does seem that more people are coming out, but I think it's all still being investigated at this point.
Right, and so that's why we say, you know, we're not here to judge whether he was, you know, in the wrong or anything of this nature. You know, we most of us learn some of this information from what's put out in the media and the television, and so you have to do your own research, everyone, to, you know, not make a judgment. And yet, at the same time, what we see is these patterns with people who are especially in high positions of power,
mm-hmm,
like Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, you know, who allowed this kind of environment to occur. And same thing with Travis Kalanick with Uber, where he,
mm-hmm,
was allowing this type of environment to occur, not just for potential sexual harassment, discrimination against females, creating a toxic work, a very abrasive, aggressive work environment. You know, the top leader set that tone and that precedent, and then everyone either just closes their eyes or pretends it's not happening because, hey, the big boss is doing it, you know. And I think we saw that, too, during the elections with President Trump now, where people are like, well, if he can do it, I can do it, you know, whatever their interpretation of Trump was, you know. So you see all these examples of whoever's in a position of power, and yet it's not to say that all people who are in a position of power and authority, a very high position of power, are the only ones doing sexual harassment. It could be your coworker. It could be your customer. You were a waitress, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you were explaining that in your situation, I think it was the customer who was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly customers, whether they're retail or restaurant industry or whatever, can be very offensive in sexual harassment to the employee, and they're not even employed. They're a customer of the employer. So think of sexual harassment, everyone, in those broader terms, not just people who are in that position, of power. So what can, you know, in the remaining time that we have, I mean, just from your own experience, when you had that experience with the customers, you know, what did your bosses say, your managers say at the restaurant, for example, about how to deal with that?
Well, it was a very interesting situation because it kind of is like a, you know, it's just a something you're going to have to deal with when you're a waitress. That's kind of the attitude that was kind of given to me. Because I know like other waitresses wore stuff that was a little bit more low cut because that's how, you know, you're apparently supposed to get bigger tips, but I never did anything like that. So it was kind of weird to be told that, like, you know, it's just the way it is. It's kind of like the way the cookie crumbles, but you know, to me that isn't something that's okay. But I think, especially in society now, I think people have just become like used to certain things that are just not okay. But I know, like, in one situation, I know one of the biggest things, I think, is to make it very obvious to your attacker that your harasser, that it's what they're doing is unwanted, and tell them no, and make it very clear to them that you're not liking their advancement. I know there was a situation at one office that I worked at where one of the male coworkers would engage with one of the female coworkers, and I guess something happened and she felt like maybe it had gone a little, like it might have been like innocent, but then it kind of felt like it was going into a way more flirtatious. And when she said it to him, he immediately stopped because he didn't realize that what he was perceiving as just kind of like playfulness that they had been doing, she got uncomfortable. So after that, he stopped like engaging with her in that way altogether. So that was one of the biggest things that I read is, you know, make sure, the first thing to do is tell your person no, that you're not, like, what they're doing is unwanted. So that way you're not sending any mixed signals. You have direct communication in verbal or writing to kind of let them know that what they're doing is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, it's that courage to speak up, whether they're a coworker. Mm-hmm. I think it might be easier if they're a coworker than they are if a boss, but I think you absolutely have the right to have a voice and to be able to say, no, I'm uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of our own responsibility to do that. But I also understand, you know, when your boss is the one doing it and you're wanting a job and you know, you don't want to be retaliated against and you don't want your job threatened, then you're like, okay, I'll go along with it. And that's typically what a lot of us do. But you absolutely have the right to say, please don't do that. I'm really uncomfortable about it. So you don't have to be, you know, aggressive about it. You don't have to be mean about it. Just simply say, no, please don't talk that way in front of me or don't talk that way to me, you know, and do that. Now, one of the things is I think it's the responsibility of the organization and the leaders in HR. You know, it is their responsibility to create a climate of respect, which means they have to model that. And if they're not modeling that, they're basically giving permission to anyone else to act the way that they do. You know, and I also want to make sure people understand that sexual harassment is not necessarily about sex. It's not because someone's wanting to have sex with you. That's usually on the rare end. It's usually because there's some position of power or a sense of a superiority, or in the example that you gave, which I liked, is there was a total lack of awareness that what they were doing was creating that harm, and by simply speaking up, that person was like, oh my, I didn't realize that you took it that way. You know, and so that level of or lack of awareness about that. What might be some other actions that people could take besides speaking up or leaders creating a respect? What else comes to mind for you?
I know in a lot of organizations they have sexual harassment policies. So like you said, having that environment. But, you know, if it persists, even after you speak up to the person, it persists, reporting it to HR. And I think it's important that you kind of keep a record of what's been going on as detailed as possible so you have something, but particularly report it to HR or even your boss if you don't feel comfortable going right to HR. Maybe talk to your boss if they're not the one harassing you. And, you know, go and tell somebody just to make it aware, because you also don't know how many other people this person's also doing it to. And perhaps they've experienced another complaint from someone else. And you could be helping out more than one person other than yourself in the matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Most companies, now if you're a small company who does not have an HR department, those smaller companies, family businesses, very small businesses, are really at a risk of not understanding. And just because they're ignorant, let's say you are an owner of a small business, but you're not big enough to have your own HR department. Ignorance is not an excuse, and I'm sure people have heard that in many ways. You need to be aware of sexual harassment, what the laws are, because, you know, you don't want to go to jail, and you don't want the person who's, you know, sexually harassing in the way to go to jail or to have some serious legal repercussions, financial repercussions for you as a business owner, or even in if you're a manager or leader of a small business but you have no connection to HR. You really need to make yourself aware, and you also need to create a policy. Maybe make sure you're educating people about the policy, whether that's through a stand-up talk or a training, or get training yourself. There's so many things on the internet where you can become more self-aware about sexual harassment, what the policies are, and how to implement them in your own company, especially if you're a small business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
I think it's a very, you know, sensitive situation. I think, like what you were saying about the Bette Davis and Joan Crawford feud, this is not something new. It's been going around for a long time. And I think, you know, women were not in positions of power for as long as men have been. So it's been very difficult, I think, for women to I know this happens to both, but I know predominantly it does seem to be happening to women. And I think because women don't often, they feel like they can't speak up, or they get into these situations. And because it's been going on for so long, some people have just become complacent to it. So it's definitely making people aware that certain things are not okay is very, very important, because sometimes people aren't aware of it, and it's just something that they're just used to dealing with on a day-to-day, but it doesn't make it okay.
Absolutely. And it's really quite sad that after all these many, many, many years that this is still occurring, you know, in our workplaces. It's still pretty rampant. I mean, EOC stays very busy with sexual harassment. And not just them, but all the people who do investigations, they spend a lot of time doing this. So this is still a very real problem in the workplace scenario, whatever the workplace is. You're a nonprofit, you're a state agency, you're a federal agency, you're a small business. It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, workplace organization that you have, a restaurant, you know, as you experience. So we haven't come to, other than laws being passed about it and taking that seriously, there's still a lot of barriers in place, and there's a lot of things that we still have to encounter. A lot of it's got to come from upper leadership, setting the tone, creating a respectful workplace, you know, regardless of the competition. A lot of times competition from, you know, like the ratings with Fox News, it somehow gives them permission to behave or misbehave. And so that shouldn't give them permission to do that. Okay, any final comments as we get ready to close here, Ms. Abby?
It's been a great conflict chat.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, the news is full of hot topics that we can talk about every time we get together, and certainly this is that one that comes. And do watch, everyone, FX, Bette and Joan. It was really, it's the FX channel, and it's called Feud, Bette and Joan, and very, very, very good, well done. Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange, they should get awards for what they did. They did a phenomenal job in portraying not only the feud between them, but just the dynamics of what they had to deal with the men in power. It was quite amazing episode, you know, series. I think it was six or eight episodes, so definitely worth watching. Do your binge watching, right, Abby?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We invite you to visit TexasConflictCoach.com to access our podcast library for helpful tips and strategies for your conflict situation, or listen on our YouTube channel, also called the Texas Conflict Coach. We encourage you to embrace conflict courageously and address it constructively. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Texas Conflict Coach. We hope you've enjoyed the program. You can find over 300 podcasts archived to listen at your own convenience at TexasConflictCoach.com or download the podcast at iTunes or Stitcher Radio. To learn about upcoming radio programs and resources, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter.